Well, look at this here old fiddle now. This was made in Auburn, Maine, 1892, by a fella named Ivory Bowie. Not too far from where my family comes from, over in Waterford, in Oxford County. And you know, it must have been quite a moment when he first got this together and playing. 'Cause you know, with fiddle, you can't tell what you got until you got it all finished, put together, and varnished, and set up with the strings and the bridge and the sound post and all. And you don't know until you can actually string it up and play it whether all that work that you've gone to for it has been worthwhile or not. So when he finally got it together, cleaned up that bow and got the rosin on it and tried it out, why, it must have sounded something like this. You can hear that he got it right, although 100 years more or less don't hurt a bit. And that was a tune from right near where Ivory lived, over in Oxford County in Norway. It's written by a fella named Melly Dunham, who was a fiddler there in the late 1920s, when Henry Ford, 1926, had him a national fiddle contest. Why, Melly went out there and he won. What he really liked to do was play for those dancers around in the country at the Grange Halls, Masonic Halls, and things like that. He had a big old white handlebar mustache. You can just see him up there next to the piano, just right bolt upright, getting ready to call out one of them dances. Pluck on that fiddle to make sure she's in tune, and he'd say, "Let her rip! Balance and swing on the left, down the hall on the right." That everybody knew, like the old Portland fancy. Bow to your partners and swing that lady opposite, and here we go. ¶¶ loved those dances. I know he did. I can remember him saying, Lord, I remember coming back from that North Waterford dance over near where they lived in Waterford, Maine, when it was getting light in the morning. And you just see them in that buggy to dancing all night in that kind of gold kerosene light off in the Grange Hall there, with them ladies in the long skirts swirling back and forth round the hall, the men dressed all in black. It's just starting to get light. Kind of the air's all blue like it gets just before dawn, you know. They come back. He grew up as a farmer. He ended up a farmer. And of course, when you're a farmer and you stay out all night, why, you get home just in time to go to work. So tired or not, he's got to get off his good clothes and on those overalls and out into the barn. And you can see him up against that cow, just milking away. And you know the rhythm of the milking is the same as the rhythm of the dancing. If you ain't careful, you ain't careful, you can lose yourself. Lose yourself back in that gold kerosene light with them ladies round, them long dresses swirling back and forth. Comes into the tire, sees what's going on, he slams that door, says, Burton, what you trying to do, suck that cow right inside out? My grandfather left now. He went to Bates College, Lewiston. He graduated in 1903. When he went off to teach school, he was down in Limerick, Maine, and then down in Massachusetts. He was the principal of the high school in Mendon, Massachusetts, and the principal of the high school in Kituit, down on Cape Cod. And then in 1923 or 4, when his father got too old to run the place all alone anymore, my grandfather quit his job, packed up his family, and come right back home to Waterford, and turned to farming. Never taught another day in his life. My grandmother got a job teaching in Waterford Flat, over in the center of the town, in one-room school there. You know that those folks still remember having my grandmother in that little old school back in 1927 and 28. I was at a meeting or something a couple, 3 years ago, and a woman stopped me afterward. She says, Are you Minnie Sanderson's grandson? I said, Well, yes, I am. She said, Oh, your grandmother, I had her in school back at the Waterford Flat School, and she did just wonderful things for us. And this woman went on talking about how my grandmother would read to those kids and bring in stuff they hadn't seen, had a chance to use, like sewing machines and typewriters and things those poor kids in the country didn't have access to at that time. And I thought, what a wonderful thing it is to be remembered like that after all those years. What about these folks now? Here's old Ivory Bowie. You know he never made a living building them fiddles. Doing it because that was what was in his hands to do and what he wanted to do. Amelie Dunham, he made snowshoes for a living. Made the snowshoes that Admiral Parry wore to the North Pole. Did. But what he really liked to do, what was really inside him, was to go out and share that music with the folks at dances and stuff. Now, my grandfather, who knew when it was time for him to give up what he was doing, come right back to what I suppose was in him to do all along where he'd grown up. Or my grandmother, doing everything she could in that little school to help them kids. You have to think that there's some kind of inner harmony that these folks have found. Something that lets them know what's right for them to do, regardless of what anybody else might do or what anybody else might say about what they're doing. And you know, fiddle's the same way. You can paste together some wood, you know, and you'll make something that'll sound. But it ain't until you've got all the parts right and all working together and all working in harmony and got it set up just right and so on that you get a fiddle that sounds like something special.